Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Not Another Mummy Podcast with me, Alison Perry. Being a mum is hard work, there's no denying that, but being a stepmum must be a whole different ballgame. And my guests today are two women who know just what it's like. Zoe Hardman is a radio and TV broadcaster, a website founder and podcaster, and she's mummed two little ones of her own and a stepdaughter. Sarah Powell is a radio and TV presenter, a podcaster, a wedding celebrant and a coach, and she has two stepdaughters. Both of them chat to me today about what it was like to get to know their stepchildren, the kind of role they play in their life, and offer up some brilliant tips on navigating the relationship and all that comes with it. Ladies, welcome. It is lovely to have you in the podcast. Today we have Sarah and Zoe. Introduce yourself, ladies, for anyone who isn't aware of your work.
Hi.
Introduce yourself. Sarah, you go first.
Well, I'm Sarah. I'm a stepmom, so not a mummy. Let's be clear about that very sort of early on. I'm a podcaster. And I am a speaker and I'm also a wedding celebrant. So I do wedding ceremonies and I have my sort of my thing, if you like, is called Celebrate Yourself. And so I do ceremonies and I also have a sort of self-help and well-being tool, which is self-celebration. So I do a lot of work around that and online classrooms and speaking gigs and workshops and things like that. So
you're basically a very happy person and you are spreading that happiness and joy wherever you go, which I love about you, Sarah.
I'm thrilled to be out of the house and to have had biscuits. That's what's going on.
You did get very excited about the foxes, didn't you?
Oh my God, a foxy. I mean, could there be anything more thrilling than a box of foxes?
I can think of a few things, but
we'll go on to that later.
We'll keep it clean.
Yeah. Zoe, tell me about yourself.
It's like top trumps for introduction. Sarah, you win. That was really good. I'm not a wedding celebrant. I am, however, Zoe Hardman, and I am a radio and TV broadcaster. I'm also a co-founder of Made by Mamas, which is my amazing, like, I don't know what you call it really, but mummy business, I guess.
It's like a multi-platform brand.
Yeah, it is, with Georgia. And I'm also a stepmum to Isla, who's 5 turning 6, and I'm a mum to Luna and Kit, 2.5 and 1.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good introduction.
I think it was phenomenal. Yeah. I liked founder. I'm going to steal founder.
Yeah, do you like that? I'm so grown up.
Yeah, I'm going to be a founder.
I think founder is good. And also the word broadcaster always impresses me.
Thank you.
So anyone who says that I'm a broadcaster, rather than say presenter or podcaster, you know, broadcaster. Mm-hmm. It's got that gravitas to it.
It's got a certain amount of class to it, hasn't it?
It's quite Newsnight, which I think is good.
They also call me the frisky one. Just to
do
that in
who?
There.
Everyone. Not your kids.
Don't they? Imo's the producer's like, she really is. Not my kids, not yet. Just mum at this stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Zoe, you are a mum and a stepmum. And Sarah, you are, I was going to say just stepmum, which is a terrible thing
no,
to say.
No, not at all.
But I find it interesting that you you seem to very much be like, I'm not a mum.
Yeah. Well, I think I have a lot of problems with the word stepmum because I'm not their mum. They've got a mum. They've got a phenomenal mum. They don't need me to mother them. I just happen to be married to their dad. Do you know what I mean? Like it's hard to find another word because, you know, what am I going to say? I'm daddy's wife. Like that doesn't really work. And obviously, you know, at times I am the other adult in the room. So I do have to say, don't touch that, put that down. No, you can't have 84 bags of Watsits. That sort
although
of
that
thing.
That is a God, good day out,
I mean,
isn't
I
it?
Would if I could.
Yeah. On a hangover, that's just a dream, isn't it?
That's it, just to keep going. Just march all the way through a multi-pack.
The dryness.
Yeah. The Watsit finger that would build up like that. So, yeah, it's a problematic phrase, but I don't feel like a mother. I think that's the main thing. I don't feel like I've got children or I've got kids or babies.
Do you think that's because, to a certain extent, you can just almost like walk away? Not that I'm suggesting you would walk away from responsibility.
But I do. I get up. So
you can walk out the room.
Yeah, exactly. Like in the morning when they come in, John has to get up with them. I move to another bed. Like, do you know what I mean? I'll sleep for another 2 hours.
You don't get up with them?
No, I wouldn't get up with them at a weekend. I mean, sometimes I would, but not on the whole. I wouldn't.
Why would you? Let's face it. If you had the choice.
Yeah. But that's the difference, I think, because if I was their mum, obviously I would have to get up with them. And so there's moments like that.
How old are they?
So Evie is 6 and Poppy is 9.
How do you view your role? Are you more like a sister? Are you more like an aunt?
I'm more... Oh God, it's so hard, isn't it? Because I'm not an aunt and I don't feel like their sister. So I don't really feel like they're mates. I wouldn't be mates with them. Do you know what I mean? They're 6 and 9.
It's a bit cringy sometimes as well when they're like, I'm your mate. And then also when you do have that situation where you need to tell them off or be a grown up, then is it a bit awkward?
I mean, what's really lovely is that John, me and their mum are all very similar in sort of, you know, boundaries and what's cool and what's not. And I actually think if it wasn't that cool, it would have been much harder. Do you know what I mean? Just even getting together and meeting them for the first time. Mm. Because I think that would be really tricky if something wasn't cool for me, but actually their parents were like, yeah, fine, no, we let them do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that would be tricky. So we've always been on exactly the same page, which I think is great.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Mm. And they've, you know, if I pull them up on something, they're almost grateful because they're like, oh great, thanks for helping us out there with that. Do you know what I mean? Because we're all want the same thing. We just want them to be great human beings. That's, you know, we all want the best for them. So, you know, there's no agenda there, which I feel really grateful for, because I don't know about you, Zoe, but I've got people who I know who are in our position who, I mean, it's just really difficult. It's really tricky with the ex, and it's really, you know, both ways actually. I've got friends sort of in my position where the ex is a nightmare, and I've got people who are the ex who the new sort of woman or partner on the scene is a nightmare. So I feel very, very grateful that we all sort of exist in that same space together, which is to just make sure the girls are cool, you know?
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And Zoe, you have your stepdaughter, but you also have the two little ones. You've got a 1-year-old and is she 2, your daughter?
She's 2.5.
Yeah. So what's that been like in terms of the dynamic between, you know, their relationship and also, you know, your role with all three of those children?
So I have a very, very, very different setup to you, Sarah, actually. So I've got to be honest, I can't relate to what you just said, because I met Isla when she was 16 months old. So Isla doesn't remember a time without me.
Yeah.
So the first time I met Isla, she, you know, looked up at me and took my hand and we waddled off down the street together, and she showed me love from the offset, really.
Lovely.
There was just that, you know, no questions asked. You know, she didn't really know who I was because she doesn't understand that at 16 months old, but she knew I was going to be around, you know, as the more I was around, you know, she got used to it very quickly. So I'm definitely not Isla's mum. You know, as you said, Isla has a fantastic mother who's doing a brilliant job with her, and they co-parent together, and that's fine. But when people say to me, how many children do you have? I say 3, because she has been in my care for half of the time from when she was a baby, and I love her, you know, like she is my own daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't differentiate between the kids. They're not stepbrothers and sisters. They're brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You know, she comes to me when she's constipated. She comes to me in the middle of the night. She comes to me when she needs a wee. I've changed her nappies. I've chosen her clothes. I have been instrumental in her upbringing so far. So yes, she's not my daughter biologically, but she's very much part of our unit, and she is the last jigsaw piece. So I don't see a difference, really.
And what was it like for you? Because obviously you were her stepmom before you were a mum.
Mm.
And what was that step change like in terms of suddenly you had a small baby? What was it like when she met your daughter for the first time?
Yeah, so I again, it was weird because I didn't have a pregnancy without a child. You know, your first time pregnancy, you just get to sort of lie around and
kick back and not have to look after.
And I had a toddler to look after for 50% of the time, pretty much, or, you know, every other Wednesday to Monday, whatever it was. But she was there a lot. And so I went through that with Isla. So we formed a very close bond when Luna was growing in my tummy. And she was, I remember the moment that Dozer brought Isla into the room to meet her sister at the hospital, and it was very emotional. And, you know, they are the best of friends. So I think I said this, like, I put a post out last night on my Instagram. Anytime that I felt uncomfortable or awkward, I always think about Isla, because fundamentally she wants her parents to be together. It doesn't matter how much she loves me or how much she loves her stepfather Henry. She wants her parents to be together because she's five, and that's what you want in an ideal world. She actually says to me all the time, why can't we all live together in one big house?
Aww.
Yeah.
So I just always think of her. And it's taught me so much about being a parent and how to put myself, you know, all of those weird insecurities or anxieties that I may feel about it. It's like, well, actually, how is she going to feel about that?
Yeah.
You know? So it's been quite easy, I think.
It does. It's definitely made me view my behaviour differently. You know, like
Has
you
it?
Said,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It definitely does. Because suddenly, you know, it's always just been me. And I've always just had to think about me and what I want and what's cool for me. And suddenly it was like, oh, wow, actually this lot are calling the shots a bit more. Do you know what I mean? Because they need their routine and they, you know, they've got all the things that they need. And I remember, like, initially, like, they're really polite kids, they're lovely, their manners are great, but you know what it's like if you do something for somebody in real life, sort of outside of children, they say thank you straight away. They're like, oh, thanks so much. And kids don't do that so much. And like, do you know what I mean?
You have to go, what do you say?
Yeah or if, you know, it's something obvious. And I can't remember what it was that I did. It might have even been I made their bed or something. And, you know, like, normally we'd be like, oh, thanks very much, oh, babes, you know, thanks. And they obviously don't, because they're children, so you can't expect them. So there was moments like that, do you know what I mean, where I had to sort of check myself a little bit, because I was like, oh, this is different. This isn't like...
The whole interaction between, you and children is so different to you and another adult, isn't it?
Yes. And it's not that I hadn't had a lot, like, I do, you know, I've got friends with kids and stuff, because some people have said, oh, you know, I never was around children, so I didn't know what to do with them. You know, I'm the eldest of four, and like I say, my friends have got kids. Like, I've always liked and got on with kids really well. But even that's different when they're in your house. Do you know what I mean? When you're living with them and you sort of, you know, you're not just dropped in for a play date, or you've not just there for a fun lunch.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're kind of there all the time. And I think it is really, really different for you, Zoe, because like you said, Isla was there a lot more. Do you know what I mean? She was with you a lot more, whereas we've kind of done the every other weekend thing, and John will go down there. They sort of live a bit further away from us, so he'll often pop down to see them sort of before school or after school or things like that. So I haven't had them in...
How long have you known them for?
So Evie was really little, like, not much. I think she was kind of similar to... she was like 18 months. Maybe she was two when I met her, and then Poppy would have been five. So, and then what's that now? So Poppy's nine. Look at me trying to work it out.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just going to get my fingers out.
One, two,
how many years?
Yes, because we waited a long time before I met them.
Did you?
Yeah, we were together for like 18 months before I met the girls.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Well, it was the right thing to do. It was totally it was the right thing for everybody. Everybody was readjusting to a new situation, you know, that had happened between them.
Yeah.
And it was, I sort of needed it as well, I think, because I was just sort of getting used to being with John, and, you know, we were like getting together and stuff.
It's so different to my experience.
Right.
It's so different.
Yeah.
Because he basically said to me, this is my life. Isla is my world.
Yeah.
And if you cannot, you know, not as brutal as this, but basically he says to me now, I would never have married you had you not bonded with Isla.
Oh, God, and yeah, of course.
So it was like, you know, we'd been together for a month, I think it was. And he was, obviously I knew before, I mean, he talked about it and showed me photos, and he was, you know, that was a big moment for him to be like, this is my Zoe and this is my Isla. And, you know, you need to, I had to get my head around being a mother.
Yeah.
not a mother, but, you know, I was looking after, you know, she was a baby and I was there looking after her and he was at training and, you know, I was suddenly thrown
into... were on your own.
That must be so hard. Yeah. Because when you as you know, when you have a baby, you kind of learn everything so gradually, don't you? Just like day by day, you're almost like on Google or, you know, flicking through a magazine or a book just to try and work out what the next thing is.
Not my experience.
You were literally just feet first in there.
But she taught me how to be a mum. You know, she was just as kind to me as I was to her, you know, and this acceptance and this love that was coming for her was like a no, she didn't have any sort of judgment or worries really, but she was so little. But yeah, we went on this journey together as friends and we're super, super, super close now. I mean, we really are inseparable. But yeah, I didn't have that. I didn't have that sort of space. He was very much like, if you don't get on with this, you know, let's be honest, it's not going to work between you and I.
Yeah. At the time, did you know that? Because that's quite a lot of pressure you should be under.
I knew it. He was very, very, very honest.
Wow.
Yeah. Because we knew we wanted to be together. Dozer and I, it was like a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
So there wasn't kind of any sort of messing around. I mean, we were trying to have we talked about having a baby of our own 6 months after being together.
Wow.
So it happened very quickly for us. It was very fast. But I remember this moment where I think we'd only been together for a couple of months and... I'd gone over there and I was staying, you know, it was fresh. We're in that moment where we were like chemistry and we were sleeping together. It was, wow, this is amazing. And then I heard this coming from this room and I was like, oh my gosh, I think I must have tipped up late after a night out. It was one of those ones. And I was like, oh gosh, is Isla here? And he said, yeah, no, she's asleep in her cot. She's obviously awake now. And he was like, do you mind if I bring her in? And I was like, what do I do here? Do I say no? Which, you know, and he was like, because, you know, I need to comfort her. And I was like, OK, let's do it. And I remember Isla being brought in and she just lay there and she was sort of looking at me and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is real.
Yeah,
this is real. And this is
and it's really funny. Sorry. It's really funny to see your boyfriend as a dad. Do you know what I mean? There's this moment they go, oh, you're my sexy boyfriend.
You've had sex before me?
Yeah. And now, oh, but you're also a dad.
Yes. That must be so weird, especially so early on in a relationship as well, to suddenly have that conversation. I mean, let's go back to that moment when you first had that conversation where your boyfriend said, oh, I've got a child or I've got two daughters. What was that like?
Well, I knew, so John and I had worked together for quite a long time and I'd always known him as John and, you know, he's married and he's got two babies. You know what I mean? So I knew very, very early on that that's who he was. And then it was only when we both left that job and, you know, everything sort of happened with their family and then sort of we got together. So I knew it wasn't...
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
we never had that.
He didn't meet online and then had that conversation.
By the way, I've got
two daughters.
Yeah, no, it was always... I always knew. Maybe... I don't know if that makes a difference. I think it probably does because I always knew he had children, so it was never part of a shock or anything.
So when you got together with him, it was almost like that was the package.
Yeah, yeah, I knew. And there was sort of just no question that we wouldn't get on, you know, I wouldn't get on with them and that we wouldn't all eventually... So it was just a sort of a given. Yep. It's like, well, that's the situation. Do you know what I mean? This doesn't need... Like, it couldn't change. Do you know what I mean? Nothing's going to be... weird about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think maybe it did make a difference that I knew him before and knew him as that. Yeah,
it does.
But it's still weird seeing that first moment. You know what I mean?
Well, when you saw him with them.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it. We all went to Pizza Express. The five of us all went to Pizza Express.
That's the best place to go for a first meeting.
It's
so neutral. Yes.
They do great pizzas as well.
Oh, they do.
Hello,
they do
to anyone listening from Pizza Express. Yes. I like the margarita with ham.
I like the middle missing.
Oh, here we go.
I like it.
That's, oh no,
that's the low-calorie
one. No, can't be doing with that.
Okay.
No, put that in the bin.
But that's because in this weird sort of 2.4 thing that we've been fed from a very early age. Mm. No one ever says to you, well, mummy and daddy are going to get together and then you're going to have kids everywhere. Oh, but daddy might have, or mummy might have already had, because that's not really explained to, I mean, I speak to a lot of my girlfriends and they're like, the thing is that, you know, he's got a kid. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
He will be more of a man now he has a child.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's gone through that moment. You're lucky. It is a real gift to have a stepchild.
Because it's a life-changing moment.
Absolutely.
Becoming a parent, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also, we haven't got children, but I imagine, like, they're armed with so much information.
Yeah.
Like, they've been through it already. They're like, oh, yeah, it's because they're hungry or it's because it's this or that. And I'm like, great. This will save so many hours of Googling or messing about because... you just already, you've done it.
But yeah, you know what does never makes me feel that he, you know, I was obviously going through it for the first time and he was going through it for the second time, but he never turned around to me once and went, oh, look, come on, it's easy.
Oh,
you know,
that's
just put
good.
I don't know if he pretended, but he just, you know, it's all new because it's with a different person.
That'd be the worst thing if he was being a bit smug, but I told you so about it.
No, not at all. He was just he's such a hands-on involved dad. And also, it's probably quite tricky for him because he has Luna and Kit at home with him the whole time. And then Isla comes to us and we have a week with her. And then she goes away again. And I know that he's been through so much with that. You know, imagine having one of your kids not with you for a week and then having to come back. You know, that's very hard. So he's been through a roller coaster as well. But we're really good communicators. And I think when you've got a stepchild and you are a stepparent, you've got to communicate with your partner. Because it's a weird feeling. And also you put in all of the effort, but you know that they love somebody else more and that's their mum.
Yeah.
So there is that feeling of like, that is the reality of it.
Yeah.
You know, I love her like a daughter, but she loves somebody else more.
Yeah.
Absolutely she should. But it's weird for me sometimes because I have to let her go a bit when she goes away.
And
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yes. And the communication thing, I think, is so important. That do you know what I mean? To have that between you, to be able to go, I'm really struggling with this today. Like, this is really hard to say. I don't want to be in the park today. I don't want this today. And I think you've got to be able to say that and it not sort of be a reflection of how you feel about them or your relationship or anything like that. It's just to go, look, I'm having a moment. You know,
is he supportive of those comments?
If you massively, ever,
is he?
Hugely,
because
does
he kind of put you guys on an even keel in terms of he doesn't prioritize the kids over you and you don't?
No, I think it's just it's so moment to moment, isn't it? So it's just what anybody needs in that moment, and you know, Poppy might really need something in this moment, so we're gonna sort that out, and then I might need something, and then he might need something, and you know, it's
that's kind of just family life, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I have moments where I'm like, I just need to get out of this park right now because I can't push this swing anymore.
Ever again. I've never been to the park. That was a big difference.
What?
No. Becoming a step parent, I like, you know, when you're a kid, you go to the park, and then you don't go to the park
unless you're a teenager swigging bottles.
Well, that's
of, you know,
it.
White lightning.
And I never really had that, to be honest. I was always in watching Coronation Street.
Oh, I love you, Sarah.
But then suddenly kids are around, and you're like, oh. We're back in the park. We're playing in the park. It's so weird.
I have to confess, I'm not a fan of the park.
No.
You know, I kind of outsource that to my husband quite a lot. You know, you go to the park, that's fine. I'll do something else.
Do nails at home.
I'd rather do like crafting or, you know, playing video games or anything other than go to the park. I just find it really mind numbing.
Oh, God, it's awful. It's drone fest.
Oh,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Push me higher. I don't want to. I can't. But I have nothing more in me.
But it's when they go too high, they're like, it's too high. It's too high.
Or my daughter sometimes gets me to go on the roundabout and push me. And I'm like, no, I'm so dizzy right now. I feel
horrible.
A bit sick. Please let me off.
It's revolting. The Scummy Mummies do an amazing song about the park.
Oh, do they?
Oh, my God. Like, I can't remember the lyrics, but it is very much along these lines.
I
like
them.
The park's crap,
right.
Basically.
I'm going to search for that.
Yes, have a look.
Because they're amazing. That's so good.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And did you ever, have you ever felt kind of, before you had your kids and, you know, currently, do you ever feel a bit of imposter syndrome? So do you ever hear yourself saying something a bit kind of like mum-like and then feel like, oh my goodness, who am I? That's not me. I'm not a mum.
I think that role as stepmum, whatever you want to call yourself, is really important for you and for your stepchild, because even though you've said, and I really respect the fact that you don't, you know, I'm not a mum and I'm not an aunt and I'm not a sister, and you need to figure out what that is for you and how that works for you, absolutely. But I feel like it can be a really special, all these labels that we put on it, oh, you're this and you're that, it's like you will have your own relationship with your stepchild and you can make it as special as possible as you want. You know, you can get involved or you can not get involved. Yeah. But you will get more if you put more in.
Yes.
You'll get more out if you put more in, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like, if everybody just, like we said, communicates on it and just, you know, nobody's upset or feeling threatened or feeling isolated or feeling jealous or left out or any of those other emotions that you might feel being a step parent,
yeah.
you can just really, really start bonding. And they can, you know, hopefully Isla will come to me in years to come and talk to me about stuff that she might not want to talk to her parents about. And I'll take that and I'll guide her and I'll help her with that.
Yeah.
But then she's going to go to her parents for things that she wouldn't want to talk to me about.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
There is that lovely outsider role, actually.
Yeah.
You know, there is that really lovely moment when, you know, yeah, you do feel like you can step in. You know, if bedtime's a nightmare or something, you're able to step in and go, guys, I can see that, you know, and you're not the parent.
You almost diffuse a situation because you are an outsider.
Yes, there's something definitely about that. But the mum sort of role, I really struggled with that initially because I did find myself saying those sorts of things. And I was like, this isn't me. This isn't my role. This isn't who I am. So initially I definitely struggled with it and then inevitably just adapted and just got used to more things and just sort of, you know, just found my way with it, I suppose, a bit more. But initially I was like, oh no, like, I don't want to be the person who says no. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh god, so boring, isn't it, being the person that says no all the time? I hate that anyway, just being a mother. No, you can't do that, stop doing that. So it's like, just do what you want, get on with it.
But especially when you see yourself as a single person who's very, come on, let's do it, and then suddenly you're like, oh no, best not, no, be careful, no, you can't, no, put that down, don't speak to me like that, that sort of thing. Suddenly you're like, oh god,
it's really boring being a grown up sometimes, isn't it, and having to especially when you are used to being really a positive yes person, and then all of a sudden it's like, you, like you say, no, be careful, get down from there.
Hate,
you
know? It it's the worst part of parenting, I think, having to be the disciplinarian, and we've got to stick to the rules, we've got to be tougher. It's, I don't really want to be, I just want them to just get on with it, but then you've got absolute toe rags.
I think that I think though that things are changing a bit, and I think that people, like, we're allowed to kind of almost like make up our own rules now with, you know, being parents. You know, we don't have to do things the way that our parents did it, and there's a lot more encouragement to be thinking about why you're saying that to the child, why you're saying no, why, do you know what I mean? So I think that
a bit more relaxed parenting.
Yeah, and I think we're really lucky to be parenting at this point where we can get them, the kids, to think for themselves and to be asking them questions. Well, why do you want to do that? And what do you think will happen if you do that? Rather than our parents might have just been like, no, I said no.
Yeah, because I say so.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. We're actually, you know, asking them to have a think about things, which I think is really good.
It's lovely.
How do you guys navigate things like Christmas and birthdays? Because that must be a bit of a tricky area.
It's quite structured in our house, so we have every other Christmas. Are you asking sort of on custody?
Yeah, exactly. Just in terms of, like, obviously, you know, in an ideal world, you would probably want to spend all special days with your stepchildren, and that isn't going to happen, is it?
No, and that's hard on all of us, and it's hard on Isla's mum and family side, and it's hard on our side. But we have every other Christmas together. We have a shared access in the holidays, so 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and we have half terms that are split. So it's very much, we know exactly what we're doing and where we're going, and it really, really works.
Yeah.
And then there aren't any surprises, you know. And if we don't have her on her birthday, then we'll do something the week before, and vice versa. You know, you just make it work like that. We're lucky like that. It has worked out.
Birthdays are very much, it's their event. It's their family event. I'll come if I can, or, you know what I mean, or if, like, there's something, you know, a bit of a party or something, I'll come if I can, and I'll be there. I mean, you know, I'll make a fuss of them, obviously. And then now Christmas has been a funny one because I historically I've always spent Christmas with my family, and what's happened this Christmas was the first Christmas that this didn't happen, but sort of,
is that because you just got married?
Yes, that was the big difference.
Now you're a married lady.
I am now, I'm a married woman. I can spend Christmas where I like. I absolutely can't, and I've got to go up to June's, my mum's, next year.
But, hi June.
So John would go and stay down in their house on which, again, I suppose that's the difference, isn't it? Because we've got their house and our house, whereas for you, she lives
two
in both.
Homes.
Yes, yeah, she's got two homes. Whereas that's not, at the moment, that's not really how we operate. It's very much, oh, they're coming to stay with us.
Does your husband, I mean, without going to say whatever you want, To say and don't say it, but do you want to, does your husband, are you trying to have them more, or is this every other weekend totally
we
fine?
We are. So John goes down to see them a lot. It's very circumstantial at the moment because there's a big distance.
Yep.
So the problem at the moment is that we live too far away from them to take them to school in the morning. So that's the reason,
yes,
that we're not sort of perhaps having them so much in the week and things like that. And we're going to move. We're moving, like, that's the big plan, is to move close to them to allow that bit more open door policy.
Great.
See, do you know what I mean? Because we all want that. Everybody wants that.
And you want that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it'd be lovely. And we need more space. You know, we live in a one bed flat. Like, when they come and stay, they're in our bed and we have a sofa bed that we sleep on.
Yeah.
So do you know what I mean? There's a space thing as well that's tricky and all those kinds of things. Like, they haven't got their own space when they come and stay, which I think
it's
is really
important for them.
And, you know, and we're figuring all that out at the moment, which
is
great.
The ideal that when you move, they'll have their own bedroom.
Yes. Yeah. And then they can come and stay, you know, and it can be that midweek thing that their mum calls up and goes, can you have them tonight, or do you want to have them for tea or whatever, just a bit more free and easy, because it just doesn't exist at the moment simply because of how far we live away from them. So he has gone down there and stayed there on Christmas Eve to be there on Christmas morning. That's sort of always what happened before. And then he'd probably drive up to my mum. So my mum's up north. So we'd kind of do something
like
that.
You're not northern, are you?
I'm a bit northern. I am a bit northern.
We hadn't got that.
And then, but so this year, instead, we went to see them together on Christmas Day.
That's lovely.
Which was lovely.
Yeah.
I was, oh my gosh, I mean, I was so hungover. I was sick in a bag for life on the A12.
No.
I mean, it was a real low moment.
We've all been
John was like, my wife, ladies and gentlemen, my wife on Christmas morning. But I got down there and we spent Christmas, sort of the present thing, and then John and I went off and did our own thing. They went off to grandparents with the kids, and then we sort of went off and did our own little Christmas dinner. And
so
I was drinking again by 2 o'clock.
Wait. That's a typical northerner.
Yes.
Love that from you, sir.
Love it.
Yes.
Hair of the dog. So is the plan that you will now, June will get you every second year?
Yeah, June, if you're listening to this, that's not a full commitment. We haven't talked about it. We haven't figured it out. There'll be some sort of, there'll be some sort of every other
sharing thing
situation going on. And then, because I suppose, you know, the thing is, the girls aren't going to be little forever, you know, and that's something
Absolutely.
That I think is really easy to forget a lot of the time, because I only know them as little. Like, it's very, very hard to imagine them as teenagers or grown-ups who, do you know what I mean, actually will have their own choice about where they spend weekends and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a whole another world that's coming actually as well. So I think that'll change things, you know. I think that's the really, I'm saying this because it's been a really new thing that's hit me. I'm like, oh, they're not going to be 6 and 9 forever. Like, it's,
And it goes so quickly.
Of course it will. And that's what everybody says. But it's very, it was a bit of an epiphany moment when I realised that, which I know sounds ridiculous.
No, not at all.
But it's, because I was like, oh, and then weekends will look different. And, you know,
they'll get on the bus
on their own to come and see us.
Yeah,
and
they'll choose a lot more where they want to be and who they want to be spending time with and
that's
all the rest of it. But I think it's kind of my attitude towards it is that it's key for the stepchildren, stepchild to have memories at specific points in the year with both families. You know, you don't want your stepchild to just be spending Christmases with one parent and only have that growing up, because you miss out on a completely different element and then the lives become separate. Blended families and parents that have split up, I feel so passionately about the fact that if you can co-parent and you can get on and have a household which is one household in two separate places, then that is the dream for the child, and it's all about the children. Parents who get, you know, couples who've broken up and they get, you know, in this vortex of hell that they're in, and they forget about the kid, and that kid is going to be affected for the rest of their lives. So if you can have that blended household where you are going on holiday together, and I mean not all together as in the two families, but you know, spending time with both, then it's really great for them. It's really great for them. You know, Isla thrives in that environment, that she gets time with us and she gets time with her mum and Henry. It's lovely for her.
It sounds like you guys make it work really well, which is lovely.
Well, we try. We're not perfect, but we
try. And nobody's perfect. Do you know what I mean? Nobody's perfect.
No.
I mean, that's like, must be the rule of parenting.
Oh my
surely.
God, yeah.
It's the rule of life. Sarah, do you think that your experience being a step parent has put you off being a parent?
I've always wanted kids. And yeah. I come from a big family, so I've always imagined a big family. And I quite like it that we've got a head start. Do you know what I mean? Like there's already
a practice run.
Yes, absolutely. And there's, you know, I love the idea of how Poppy and Evie would be if we had children. I love that because I mean, like, they'd just be beside themselves, I think. Like, they just would be so excited about it.
They'd love that role, wouldn't
they? Yeah, I think they would. I think they would. And I think it's a really lovely role to have. And I know that you mentioned this at the beginning, Zoe. In terms of that sort of phrasing, they would always be brother and sister. They would not be step brother and sister. You know, I think that's a very, very weird thing to go, well, you've got the same father, but this isn't your brother.
No, like,
it just
I know.
Seems completely weird.
Yeah.
Has it put me off? It's made me realise what a big commitment it is. And I think that something like if anybody was not a step parent and they were perhaps meeting somebody or getting with somebody who had kids, the diary management was like mind blowing.
It's blown your mind, hasn't it?
I can see. Absolutely. I just can't, like, because it's so rigid, because it has to be, because somebody's got to look after them legally. Somebody's got to be with them. They've got school or they've got parties or they've got brownies mm-hmm. or they've got ballet or whatever they do. And it goes in the diary first. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you know, and then everything else
kind
of
fits around. Having your own
it.
Kids and yes. then your stepkids' diaries to manage at the same time as well. And if they're at yeah. different schools, that poses, you know, difficult, you know, driving.
It yeah, sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It is a logistical.
Do you guys have like shared diaries? Like, do you have some sort of shared online thing where it all goes in?
We should. We try. Do you know what I mean? Something always goes, oh no, that date didn't go in properly. You know what I mean? It's some sort of technical
that old
error. Yes.
No, we're just vocal over WhatsApp. Like, I have a good relationship with Isla's mum and, her and I communicate a lot more, actually, which is really nice. And I out of, you know, complete respect to her, I always give her an update on how Isla is through her time with us, and I try and do it that way so that she's kind of across it even though she's not with her.
Yeah.
And then she'll message me saying, oh, Isla's got an after school club that day, or can you get some uniform or whatever it is. So we communicate well.
That's really
which
good.
Which is great.
It's really good.
Yeah. Because our stuff all goes through John. Do you know what I mean? It'd be quite rare. It's not to say that it couldn't happen. It just doesn't. Do you know
what
I mean?
Would you want to take on that role a bit more?
I think when we move, I think I naturally will, because I think it will open up that communication a lot more, because we'll be nearer to each other. So, like I said, with the open door thing a bit. So I think there will be a little bit more of that. Yeah. But the logistics, that's full on.
And getting up with the girls and stuff, would you want to do that a bit more? Are you quite happy?
No, Zoe, I don't want to do that at all.
I think you've got that sorted, actually.
Yeah.
Sarah, to be honest with you.
I really wouldn't go changing that.
No, I've got no interest.
I respect you.
They won't even be in the same room like they are at the moment. Like, you know.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, you're making being a step parent sound pretty good.
Isn't it nailing it?
I'm a bit jealous. I think I've done this the wrong way. You know, having to get up every morning with their three children and do all of the school runs and clubs and all that.
No, Sarah's not doing it, and I love her for that.
Oh no, I'll do it if I have to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and go, well, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I would never do that, and I don't do that now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not expected, so I don't rise to the occasion. Yeah. Literally.
Good.
I think that's spot on.
Husband, if you're listening, if someone else in the room is not doing the get up, the early wake up calls.
Okay, so have you got any tips for any step parents who might be listening who are struggling a bit with any of these kind of elements you're talking about, whether it's logistics or, you know, building that relationship, or, you know, because there's so much potential for the stuff to go wrong with this, isn't there?
Oh my God, yes. I'm like bursting with tips. I think the first one is to not to be jealous, because I think a lot of the women that I've spoken to, actually there are no men that have contacted me on Instagram, so I can't speak for them, but women feel this jealousy towards the child, towards, you know, oh, I don't feel like number one any longer.
That's interesting.
This isn't my daughter or son, and I don't know how to bond, and you're taking the time away from with me and my new partner, and that kind of, forget about it. Jealousy goes out of the window, a feeling of insecurity out the window. Put yourself in the child's shoes. You have to try and visualize what it's like for them. Mm-hmm. Their parents have broken up. Number one, it's like, it's not about you. Get over yourselves. Think about the child. Secondly, I think if you get involved and you really throw yourself into that role, you can have such a special relationship and you can really turn out to be really good mates. I mean, I know you were sort of saying, oh, good friends, but we actually are really good friends, Isla and I, and that's really nice. You know, like you said, not trying to be a mum, but just trying to be there for her on some level. And I also think, like, taking the time to, you know, encourage the relationship with the father or the mother, whichever way around it is, you know, saying to them, why don't you take them out, go take them swimming or take them to the park, or encourage that so that you take a step back, you will get your special time with your new partner, but just let them have the time because they're not together all the time.
Mm,
yeah. So let them do something together and that will work. That will make them happy or make you feel good. The kid will get what they need. You know, those are my top three.
Yeah. And I think that's good as well because you get a bit of breathing space, which you might really need.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to know it is hard. Do you know what I mean? And it's like it is, you are taking something on. Do you know what I mean? Like you're coming in, like, I think if you come in and you think, oh, my life won't change at all.
It will.
It's going to be a big shock for you. So I think that that's something to really know that it is, and it is, you're going to have tricky moments and you might have some really sort of ugly emotions or thoughts and things like that. So I think it's really important to be kind to yourself and just go, do you know what? I'm feeling really insecure and I can't believe I'm jealous of a 5-year-old. I can't believe I'm feeling like this, but it is how I'm feeling. Okay, how am I gonna, you know, move on from this? Do I need to share it? Do I need to share it with their mother or father? Do I need to sort of share it with a friend? Do I need to, you know what I mean? Like, or do I just need to breathe and go for a walk around the block and go and have a coffee or a big glass of wine? And what do I need to do? Do you know what I mean? Because this is hard right now. Because I think, you know, there's almost that expectation that you're just going to walk in and it's, well, you know, this is the situation. You knew
it's
I had kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So here they are. Come and get on with them. And I think... like exactly what Zoe said earlier, those lines of communication, keep them open, keep them going. And you can say, look, this is really embarrassing. I am horribly insecure at the moment because you love your children more than you love me.
And that's exactly what it comes down to. That is it in the base form.
Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't mean, it's a different love as well, isn't it? It's a different thing. Like, there's no point comparing yourself. I think if you start comparing yourself, the relationship that you have with their parent to the relationship that they've got, that's a world
of... You're going to build up resentment then,
aren't you? It's just a waste of time. Yep. Like, it's just nothing good's going to come of it. So just keep them separate. Just know that they feel differently about you than they're going to feel about your kids.
And also
about their kids.
I think try and understand that kids can be, you know, they know how to push buttons between parents. And,
yes,
you
they
know,
do.
Even Isla now, I've known her for, what, 4 years. She sometimes says to me, she'll get into bed with Dozer and she'll go, it's really comfy here. So I'm going to sleep here. Where are you sleeping tonight? And she looks at me and she smiles and does his piss, like he's pissing himself laughing. Because it's like, of course she wants to sleep in with her dad. Where am I going to sleep tonight? And we have a joke about it and laugh about it. At the beginning, I would have been a bit like, I don't know. But I think there's a certain amount of like, you've got to laugh at it, pinch yourself. Yeah. Don't get upset by stuff like that. Because they do know what they're doing.
Yes, they do. Yes. They're so crafty. They get away with, honestly, they do know what they're doing. Yeah. Like their intuition is outstanding. Yeah.
So I think being fluid is key and like having a bit of a sense of humour about it.
Yeah. And just being a bit kind to yourself. Just forgive yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you're going to feel all kinds of things.
All
they're going to come
kinds
up all
things.
The time
yes.
throughout
and
the whole journey that you go on with your stepkids. It's going to be, it's going to be ups and downs.
Mm. And things that are really great one day might be different the next. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Things that didn't annoy you might annoy you and vice versa and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also you'll eat a lot of spag bol. That's what I just
half eaten spag bol off the plastic plate.
A lot of spag bol.
Yeah,
that's just motherhood. Full stop. You eat a lot of spag bol.
Yes,
ladies, that is just so useful. I feel like between you have got being a step parent nailed.
I don't think so.
there's a Venn diagram.
There is.
Yes.
Right in that middle bit, that is it. Step parenthood nailed. So thank you so much for being my guest today. It has been gorgeous to talk to you both. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks for the biscuits.
Big thanks to Zoe and Sarah for being my guests today. Weren't they brilliant? I loved all the tips they had. Thank you for joining me, and I'll catch up with you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.